Letting God live in and through us, and us living, existing in the Lord who is love. His love gets perfected, developed in our lives. And what does it result in? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Why is it that we aren't shrinking back in dread of someday standing before the Lord? Well, maybe we are to some degree, but you know what will diminish that, erase it, and change it? Knowing the love of God. Hey, why should I be afraid to come before my Heavenly Father who showed how totally He was for me in sending His only begotten Son? It's going to be great to stand before Him someday because He won't be judging whether I deserve heaven or hell. His Son already paid the price to get me out of the road to hell and bound for heaven. He'll just be evaluating what my life prepared me to enter into in service and fellowship and intimacy and all that. Hey, we don't have to shrink back. And as He is, so also are we in this world. As He is love. Now, we are His love incarnate today. And though it's just a parallel track, not equal in its profound impact, it still has a similarity. As Jesus was God incarnate and the Father, even dwelling in Jesus, the Son of Man, shining forth the glory of His grace, impacting, touching, drawing lives, well, as He is, so are we in the world. Not identical, we're not God, we're not Emmanuel, but His love can be incarnate in us. How are people going to have a chance to know of the love of God? Well, we're the ones to be out there proclaiming the message of His love. Let them know God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life right now. We're proclaiming His love, but also we can be moving about demonstrating His love. Can you imagine in churches, in Christian homes, if we all increasingly saw the supremacy of love and wanted to walk in it, where all we had for each other was not disinterest or snide remarks, but, hey, I owe you nothing but to love you. What else could I do that would have any significance but to love you? To want God's absolute best for you and even be available to be a part of the provision. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, praise God, we have a lot of that at work in lives here on this campus, but there's no limit to the extent to which it can develop. Why? Because God is infinite. He can flood us and fill us with His love, and that will be the mighty outworking of the fullness of His Spirit. Won't be weirdness or look how mighty I am. We'll just be overflowing vessels of love. As He is, so are we in this world. He is love. Now our calling is be servants and vessels of love, and we can be because the God of love lives in us. Look at verse 18, the liberating power of love. The liberating power of love. There is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Oh, the liberating power of love. Fear and distrust and anxiety, so destructive in people's lives, in relationships, in marriages, in churches, in ministries, and fear, distrust, anxiety. The answer is love. There's such a liberating power in love. As we abide in God's perfect love, fear is increasingly removed from our lives. Because we know, on the one hand, our punishment fell on Jesus, and God's love is now our portion. He's for us and not against us. He has nothing but good intentions for us. Nothing. There's such liberating power in love. I've seen that in our marriage. My wife and I have had 32-plus years of some practice at this. Not that we perfected it, but I tell you, I see the liberating power of love. I love my wife dearly, and I have no fear or apprehension about her in any way. I'm not fearful she's going to go say something bad or do something bad or harm me or us or the children. I don't have any anxiety she's going to be foolish, bring trouble. I mean, if she went off to the mall with 5 credit cards, I'm telling you, I would have perfect peace. In fact, it happens every week. Had a lot of practice at it. We do have multiple credit cards. Boy, that was a transformation. There was a year where I shouldn't be within 10 miles of a credit card. But God has shown us personally for our own homes the convenience of it, the practicality for record keeping and taxes and all that. And He's, by His mercy and grace, has taught us how to every month bring zero balance to everyone. And so it's more a convenience and stewardship factor. So my wife, every time she goes off with, you know, credit cards. And we have different ones because we use different ones for different purposes. That also has helped us in kind of our accounting and all, and even our budgeting and things. And it's amazing the way these banks issue credit cards. I mean, in 1 week, we got pre-approved credit offers from a few banks amounting to like $60,000. Oh, my word. So glad I didn't get that when I was unredeemed. I'd have been buried. I'd be in prison for debtors, you know. Man. But my wife, she doesn't care if the card has $20,000 limit on it or $20. It doesn't matter to her. She's not going to make a foolish decision. I have to beg her to buy dresses. Gals, can you believe that? I know guys that goes right past them, but gals, do you get that? The beggar to buy a dress. Sweetheart, why didn't you buy that dress? Well, you know, it was only 40% off. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, I saw once it was 65% off, you know. Okay. Please go buy a dress. What is happening in that real dynamic? It's love. I love her. I know she loves me. We both love God, and it's just liberating. I'm not suspicious of her. I don't care who she's talked to or is going to write. I don't. What are you going to say to them? Who cares? Sweetheart, say whatever you want to. I know God will use it. I know it will have wisdom and good intentions both mixed in. There is such a liberating power in love. I've shown myself through the years able to be very suspicious of people in human relationships. I know this is a mighty work of God, you know. There is liberating power in love. Well, think of the love of God. The more we're convinced He's for us, not against us, He has nothing but good intentions toward us. Why be afraid of Him or anything He would ever want to do with our lives? There is liberating power in love. And then verse 19, the motivation of love. We love Him because He first loved us. Notice the unfolding sequence of love in our lives. We love Him because He first loved us. You could really build a pattern of application there on all kinds of levels. We serve Him because He first served us. You know, He became a servant that died in our place, and now we serve Him. We sacrifice because He first sacrificed. We take up the cross because He first took up the cross. We give because He first gave His all. I mean, it's always that order. He's the initiator. We're the learning responder to that great love of God. It's beautiful. The motivation of love. Why do we love God? What motivates us to love God? Not because there's a club held over our heads, but because God has first loved us. All these verses really tied into this, the supremacy of love as related to its source. Love is of God. It comes from God. If we're going to have it in our lives, it's got to be flowing from Him. If it's going to develop in our lives, it's got to come from our developing relationship with Him. Yeah, it's good to have a desire to love more. But to actually love more, we just need more of the work of God changing us from the inside out, filling us with His love, drawing us to fall in love with Him, and having this view of others. How can I pour out the love of God on them? See, that's the heart of God. The supremacy of love. It's the heart of the kingdom. It's what God has called us to. And it doesn't diminish all these great things we've looked at. Faith, hope, truth, gifts. It doesn't diminish those things. It's just greater than all those things and is to permeate all of those things. We do well just to love God and love each other and let that be the flooding environment in which all the rest takes place. A few thoughts in conclusion. Colossians 3:14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection or the perfect bond of oneness. But above all these things, some wonderful things mentioned here. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiving one another. Verse 14, but above all these things, put on love. That's a pretty heavy list too. These are great things. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, putting up with each other, forgiving. Those are great things. But above all these things, put on love. Let love be the covering, the vitality, the strength that brings all these other things forth. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. Fiery love. Earnest love. Not just the love that keeps us from bopping heads together, you know. You know, I ought to knock your block off. But because I love you, I won't. Well, praise God for that kind of love. I mean, that's nice. But that's not at all what this is saying, is it? I mean, that's a measure of love. For many of us, that's a significant love, you know. Some of us grew up, you know, knocking people's blocks off, you know. Love covers a multitude of sins. I can give an illustration there, a couple of them. The ultimate one would be the Lord Jesus Christ. His love in dying for us fully covers the multitude of all of our sins. I sinned against God and against my parents a multitude of times. Especially, not exclusively, but especially from age 15 to 25. Oh, multitude of sins against my folks, against the Lord. It's astounding to me how their love covered that, you know. Their love, as it were, blotted that out. Their love looked past that, and they still cared for me, accepted me, encouraged me, helped me. That's an illustration of it, and we can find that in our relationships with each other. Real love isn't looking for a failure that you can jump on, you know. I got you now. I knew you'd blow it. That's not love. Now, there's another aspect. That's not everything in the Bible on the subject. Sometimes love reproves and rebukes. And I might actually add, that brings my parents to mind too. They did that a few times. And they had every right to, and they should have, and I needed it. But it was out of love, you know. So this isn't everything in the Bible on the subject, but love will cover a multitude of sins. I mean, you love someone, a multitude of wrongs against you or in their life won't stop you from loving them, that sort of thing. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It really is. And it's a good one for us here. But if you see someone overtaken in a fault, Galatians 6:1, you know, love doesn't just, you know, just cover that in the sense of pay no attention. Love reaches out and wants to help. Hey, do you realize what you're doing? You know this is destructive and all that. So they don't cancel each other out, but this is a beautiful reality. Love will just cover a multitude of sins. You may have friends that when you stop and think about it, man, why do I still love them so much? In light of you know. Well, in many ways, you've probably already done that and forgotten those things because 1 Corinthians 13, love takes no account. love's not adding to the list. You know, okay, that's 17. You know, you're getting close, buddy. You know, love isn't even taking account. Love just cares for that person, wants God's best, and wants to be an avenue of God's best. Again, doesn't exclude reproving or rebuking, but even then it would be loving, not nasty. Fervent love. Love with a fire in it, an urgency. God's given me some friends and partners in Christ that I just have a fervent love for them. I have a fervent love for my wife, for the kids, for grandkids. I'd like that fervent love, really, for everyone. I'd like to have that toward everyone. But it's a process, isn't it? It's not just, you know, and then you're instant, total, perfect, absolute love. Any more than you grow up in one night like that. It's a process. And I don't think God wants any of us to be under condemnation if right now the devil himself is whispering in your ear, reminding you, yeah, you sure aren't like that, are you? Well, none of us are totally like that, but we can all grow like that. I know God has made me much more loving toward people. Oh, ways much more so than before I was saved, and even more than when I was a babe in Christ. My flesh wouldn't mind just, you know, leave me alone, give me what I need, and, you know, I hope things go well for you, but I'm out of here. That's the flesh, you know. God wants us to have this fervent love, you know. Is there a way I can show care and encouragement to that brother, to that sister? Be kind to them. Be a part of God's best for them. Can you imagine just living in a community, a house, a church, a campus like that? John 13, 34 and 35, referred to earlier. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, how could this be a new commandment? Surely we know the Old Testament commanded people to love others. Well, it's probably new in the sense of newness or freshness, for sure, a new statement, a new profoundness in it. But there's maybe another aspect of newness added, as I have loved you. A new commandment. Yeah, we're to love one another, but here's an added aspect, as I have loved you. There's never been love demonstrated like the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us when he died on the cross. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Someone might say, I see you're a child of God because you know so much about the Bible. They might say that to you. And not that that's has zero validity, because it shows you've paid attention to what God has said. So, you know, you must be interested in God. You must be a follower of the Lord somehow. But here's the ultimate demonstration. People say, my goodness, I see how you guys love each other. You must be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. By this all, you know, this is one reality that can convince anyone of the validity of our personal testimony. That is, as we are loving the children of God, others are seeing we're the genuine thing. This is a great one. The supremacy of love. It's kind of the ultimate apologetic for our testimony of faith. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 and 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. I see a real application of this to the students and laborers here on this campus. When Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he said, concerning brotherly love, you don't really need that I write to you. It's not necessary. Why? For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. God was causing them to show love to one another. Indeed, you do so toward all the brethren in the whole region. But we urge you that you increase more and more. I would say that directly to you, maybe an encouraging word from the Lord. I would just say, let me urge you that you increase more and more. In what? Brotherly love, one for another. I see it as very significant and present and substantial on this campus. And God himself has been teaching us to do that. But why stop where we are? Why not go further? Let's be urged by the Lord to increase more and more. 1 Thessalonians 3. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12 through 13, the supremacy of love and increasing more and more in love. Let's read this as part of our closing prayer. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may, God may, establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Lord, this is what we ask for each of our lives, that you would establish us in holiness. And here we see it's about loving one another. That's your holy will. Lord, do that work in us, among us, through us, with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.